Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The Anthony Fauci of Chicago, Dr. Kevin Most, is on a phone line. By the way, doctor, what do you make of the states and cities saying, well, then you can't come here, you can't come here? Is this an effective policy? Is this going to change much?
You mean as far as quarantining if you come from a different state?
Yes.
You know, it's difficult. How are you going to enforce it? You know, that's probably the biggest thing. I think it's an awareness issue for us. It says, boy, if we know that Iowa and Wisconsin rates are much higher, are we going to have maybe a hesitancy to go there? But really, you know, that's one of the ways we can do is quarantine when you're coming from a high populated state, or excuse me, a state with a high rate right now. We're trying to do everything we can to slow the spread, and that's one way it can happen. It's just how do you put it in place?
Well, our numbers, our positivity rate's 3.8, did I see? Something around there. That sounds pretty good to me still, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you look at the state, a matter of fact, I just was looking at it this morning. You know, we have some states that are 22, 25%. You know, a lot are in the teens. So we're very good as far as our positivity rate. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to do is how do we make sure we maintain that, especially with the schools going back into session here shortly.
New York Times had a list of the countries around the world and their infections and infection rates. They noticed that 10 states have higher incidence of COVID-19 than any other country in the world. Or it's probably not the total, though. It must be the infection rate or something like that. We've got all of these statistics that are thrown at us. Is positivity rate the most important one, not gross number or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I still go positivity rate and I go hospitalization and ICU utilization. Those are probably the big ones. Positivity rate, we know, you know, as we get more and do more tests, we certainly know that the number is going to go up, right? Just the gross number. But if you start to notice that your positivity rate is going up, think about it. For us, if you had a group of 100, you know, and 4% of them were going to be positive, and compare that then if you're going to go to a state like Texas where 26% of them are going to be positive, or Arizona where, you know, where 24% of them are going to be positive, the chance of spreading it increases dramatically, obviously, when you see that positivity rate where it's at.
Okay, so about this vaccine that's in phase 3, 30,000 people volunteering to get the vaccine. I guess half get the placebo, half get the vaccine. And then do they just have them go about their lives, or do they actually try and put them in the way of COVID-19 to see what happens?
So it's very interesting, John, and the way you brought it up is very interesting. So the trial that you're talking about is the Moderna one. That came out, that just started this week. UIC is the partner in Chicago for Moderna. And then the next couple months, there'll be another one. In August, the Oxford AstraZeneca one will be coming out, and Northwestern will partner with them. In September, Johnson & Johnson will come out with theirs. In October, Novavax will come out. So each of those is going to have 30,000 participants in them. So you're going to look at some huge numbers here as we go into the fall. And yes, they're just going to go about their normal life. Now, believe me, there's been a lot of ethical discussion of, do we do a challenge? In other words, do we give them vaccine and then give them the virus to show that it has worked? The ethics of that is extremely difficult because you have some people who aren't getting the vaccine, right? You just said it. 15,000 are getting the vaccine. 15,000 are getting placebo. So how can you ethically run the trial and expose them? But believe me, it was strongly considered. At what point do we consider giving someone the vaccine and then actually giving them the virus to prove that
that's happened before? Challenge tests have happened before,
yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, they have.
And there's plenty of people at a pool in the Ozarks that are willing to do it anyway. I'm not kidding. I mean, there's
plenty
of people who, what are these COVID parties? Let's just round those kids up, throw them in a truck, and give them the juice.
And John, I would bet you when you start to look at the numbers we're having, you know, 30,000 for each of these, I would bet there are even well-educated people that are saying, you know what, I'm willing. I think my immune system's good enough. I want to show that this works.
Right.
I am willing to sign
or
there.
Or maybe I don't know it all, but I actually ethically want to help my country get out of this sooner. I mean, how long is it going to take for us to randomly find out if the placebo group or the actual vaccinated group has a higher incidence of the disease? That'll take months, right?
That will take months. And then, you know, also it's going to be the blood testing to say, okay, what's the response for these individuals? And then the biggest thing that we're really looking at these phase threes is we need to make sure that this is safe. You know, we're going to be asking hundreds of millions of people to get a vaccine. So before we do, we better make sure that it's totally safe. And that's why you're seeing the numbers of 30,000 volunteers, you know, for each of these studies, each of these next four studies.
So we've got to make them heroes like we've made first responders heroes and nurses heroes and
things like
that. You're
not being sarcastic about that, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm, you know, make, you know, Rosie the Riveter, things like that.
Yeah.
People are willing to do it.
Steve, you're spot on. You know, you think about it. A lot of people won't even get a flu vaccine because they're afraid of it. And yet here we have people that are, they are heroes. They're stepping up to say, you know what, give me this vaccine. I'm willing to try it to make sure that I can help protect the millions in the future.
Why do you say such nice thing to Steve when he asks a question? I've been carrying on a reasonable interview for 15 minutes, and not once have you said, boy, John, that's a good question.
It's because they're all
John,
good, John.
I'm always nice to you.
So, guys, can I just tell you something while you've been talking? I've been texting with a buddy of mine whose son is in from North Carolina, which is a banned state, right, I think, in Chicago?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And so they went out to dinner last night and were asked by the restaurant if anyone was from any of the banned states. And that's the first time I've heard of any sort of enforcement that way.
Did they answer it honestly?
They did, and they were seated, but at a table further away than any of the other tables.
I have friends in downstate that I'm thinking about going down to see for dinner, and I said, find an outdoor venue where we can sit at a restaurant on a patio in Peoria. Do you have advice for me about that a week from now, doctor?
You know, I think if you're outside and you are spaced appropriately and your server is wearing a mask, you are in good shape. Now, again, you're going with people that you know, so you're going to have your own little pod or your own little herd. You know, you have to trust that they've been diligent in doing everything that they're supposed to be doing up to this point.
And since I have the antibody, isn't it reasonable for me to expect that I am a little safer to be around?
Yeah, we certainly hope so, John. We certainly hope that you, if you were to be exposed, that you would not, you know, you have little symptoms, if any symptoms. That's the part that we don't know. However, we are finding that individuals like you, that we've taken their plasma and are using that in studies, that the patients are actually doing very well, which again is extremely encouraging, not only for the vaccine, but for the individuals who have had the illness.
For the hundreds of thousands of people in our listening area who have had COVID and therefore presumably have some sort of immunity built up, should we all be giving plasma? How do I do that? Where do I go?
Absolutely. You should be talking to your physician to make sure that, you know, and let him give you the lowdown of, yes, with all of your other medical problems or any other conditions you may have, yes, you still should be someone that is considering it. I can tell you that here at CDH, we've had unbelievable results with some plasma studies as well as the remdesivir and the combination of the two, which is another reason why we're seeing less patients in the intensive care unit and less deaths.
Nice to talk to you today, Doctor. We'll visit again. I always appreciate your time.
You got it, John. Take care.
And say goodbye to Steve, because I know you guys really think he's swell.
John, you always have, I say that all the time. You always challenge me, and you always have really good questions.
Dr. Most, you got to tell him. You
just
got to say it to him.
A little vulnerable. We're in the middle of a pandemic, doctor, and days are tough. Nice to talk to you, sir.
Take care, guys.
Kevin Most.
That's the last time you'll talk to him, I think, probably.
I was just thinking, boy, it sure has been fun getting to know him.